I'm on. Praise God. Who believes God's preparing a people in this hour? I believe that. I believe He's preparing a people in this hour. I believe He's preparing a people in this hour to usher in the presence of the Lord. Who knows He's coming back? He is coming back. And He needs a people ready. Amen. He needs a people, a church. They're about the Master's business. So often we get caught up in our own business. Life can do that to us. Keep us busy. I was reading Matthew 11 all this week. The furthest through I got was verse 19. I really believe there's a message in this that I want to share. John the Baptist, it's talking about John the Baptist, the entrance into the things of God. John the Baptist was a man that was a forerunner. I'm going to use that word a little bit this morning. He was a forerunner. He was the greatest prophet born of a woman. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus declared. No person was greater than John the Baptist that was born of a woman. Greater than Moses, prophet. Greater than Elisha. Greater than David. Yet there's very little said about John the Baptist. He's the greatest born of among women. But there's very little about him that we really know. We know that he was from birth. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He leapt in his mother's womb when Elizabeth met Mary. We know that. We know that he was destined to speak and be a forerunner. He was fulfilling a prophecy of Malachi chapter 3. That there will come one before him and usher in the presence of the Lord. We knew that. But there's very little else that speaks of him. You never see him prophesy. I've never read that where he prophesied, thus saith the Lord. Yet he's called the greatest prophet. Never read that. But he was profound in what he was saying. Man, a few words. Spoke a very simple message. Yet Jesus echoed the same message after he died and got beheaded. Jesus echoed exactly the same message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Probably the most greatest sermons ever spoken. Wasn't so eloquent in speech. Was a man that would speak and shoot from the hip. When the religious were around him, he'd say, "You brood of vipers." He would say things that probably church folk wouldn't say today. Really what he was saying when he said the words, "You brood of vipers," he was saying, "You sons of the serpent." That's what he's literally saying. You sons of the serpent. You sons of the devil. Bold. Bold enough to point out a man called Jesus from the crowd. Bold. Bold enough to decree and declare, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Bold. And I really believe as forerunners, God's still looking for forerunners today that will point Jesus out from the midst of the ordinary because he's extraordinary. Point him out and say, "Hey, there's only one way." Bold. Bold enough to say, "He is it. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life." The crowd had mixture in it. These crowds. It says, in fact, the whole of the city and the whole of the region went out to be baptized. Even the religious were looking upon it to see and watch what this baptizer was doing. They asked him the question, "Are you the Christ?" No. But he was knowing he had to fulfill something on his life that God wanted to get out of him. And what it was he had to point out this man called Jesus from the crowd. I really believe there's still crowds today. We have crowds that want to hear the truth. We have crowds that are desperate to see a move of God and a touch of God, want to understand the things of God. But in the midst of the crowd, there's another crowd. the religious, those who don't believe, those who want to mock, those who want to pull down. I believe the serpent today, the devil's got a crowd going around trying to draw men and women from the truth to other gods. Another crowd. Idols. False religions. All the time trying to entertain and do the work of the enemy to take away people's hearts away from Jesus. There's many people in the crowd. There's many. But what we could be is a man and a woman of a different, like Jesus was in, coming from the ordinary to the extraordinary. He was born for such a time as that. I'm going to put this down for a sec. He was born for such a time as that. Jesus never moved from his father's carpenter shop until he heard the father says, go down to the Jordan. Undoubtedly, John would have passed Jesus many times going down to the Jordan. Jesus would have heard the crowd and seen the crowd going to the Jordan. But he never moved. Not once. We don't hear about his father anymore. After he came from Egypt and he went to Galilee, and he went from Galilee, he went to Bethlehem. You don't hear much of Joseph. He had dreams and that was it. You don't hear much of Joseph at all. History tells me Joseph died when Jesus was young. He was there when he was 12 because him and his mother came back for him. Yeah, he was there. But after that, we don't hear about Joseph. So his childhood, a large part of it could have been a fatherless childhood. But he was stuck to the father and the ways of the father. So this man called Jesus, when he heard the Father of Heaven say, go down to the Jordan, he went. And all of a sudden, this baptizer, this man called John, this greatest born of all women, points him out of the crowd. We'll get to the scripture in a minute in chapter 11. I just want to give you some background. Points him out of the crowd and says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. His spirit bore witness. And later on, when John was placed in prison, he asks a question. Are you the one that we are seeking? Well, one minute he's prophesying over this man called Jesus. The next minute he's saying, are you really him? Jesus then tells him the witness of who he was. Go and tell him the lame walk, the blind see. The leper is cleansed. He starts prophesying and declaring all that. John the Baptist is a type of a forerunner that was not afraid to point out Jesus. So let's read from chapter 11, verse 1 to 19, and we're going to go through exactly what Jesus said about this prophet, this man, who's the greatest of all women, born of women, but the least of anyone who was born of the kingdom. I want you to ponder on that thought. The greatest prophet born of women, John the Baptist, but least than he who was born in the kingdom. And the reason is because the Holy Ghost came upon him. But if you're born of the kingdom, the Holy Ghost resides in you. He didn't have that privilege. And if you're born again here this morning, you have the privilege of the Godhead dwelling in you bodily. He didn't. He's the last of the prophets of the Old Testament. Turn with me to Matthew 11, 1 to 19. Have we got it up? Great. I'm reading from the ESV version. When Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the cities. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of Christ, he sent word by his disciples. And he said to him, are you the one who was to come, or shall we look for another? Yet it was John that pointed him out. See, when you're under pressure, even though you know something, That pressure can make you doubt something. Can I have an amen? Jesus answered him and said, go tell John what you have here and what you see. Notice the witness. Notice what Jesus says, the witness. What you hear and what you see. What you hear should accompany by what you see. No use me saying I'm a good Christian and I believe in Jesus if they don't see the works of Jesus in me. Can I have an amen? Yes, please. Right. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and poor have the good news preached to them. That's both happening physically and spiritually. When someone gets born again, the dead are raised. They are dead. They are spiritually dead. But when someone receives Jesus Christ, they become what? They become alive. Amen. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Jesus puts that line right in the middle of it all. Blessed is the one who's not offended by me. Because when you stand and want to be a forerunner for Jesus and want to usher in the kingdom of God, hear me, offenses will come. I'm going to say something quite bold this morning. Away with these churches and the way these thinking that allows and just brings anything into everyone and just gravitates to whatever's happening in the world for numbers. There has to be a standard of the Lord. Anyone can come to church. Whatever sin they have, they can come to church. But they better not leave the same. There has to be a transformation in their life happening. Whether that's process or whether we see the fruitfulness of that, there should be fruit. But to gravitate to someone's belief or someone's system of whatever they're doing, to say that they come to church, church will not change them. I want to say that again. Church will not change them. Jesus changes them. Hallelujah. And they went their way. Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? What does a forerunner look like? That's what he's really saying. Why did you go into the wilderness to see this man? A reed shaken by the wind. Did you see a reed shake? This type of man, is he a reed shaken by the wind? See, a forerunner shouldn't be moved by every wind of doctrine, by what's happening around in their life. Moved by what's happening in the world or what the minority groups are trying to do and perform. An absolutely abhorrent wickedness with our children trying to remove their identity and remove their sexuality all for the sake of fitting in. A reed. He says three things, actually, God. What did you go and see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? The question is, what is the world, what is the crowd beholding? What is the crowd beholding? If God is looking for a forerunner company to usher in his presence and to see the kingdom come, what are they looking for? What are they seeing? Three things, he says, the Lord says here. Are you a reed? Are you a man that is dressed up in soft attire? You have all the outward appearance of blessedness and all the outward appearance of all that stuff that's happening that is good. Yet on the inside, still a man. I love the terminology Jesus uses. A man. See, a man that's left up to his own devices without the guidance of the Holy Ghost is capable of anything. I want to say that again. A man that is left up to his own devices without the leading of the Holy Ghost in their life is capable of anything. Anything. The man, the unregenerated man, the man of the flesh, the unregenerated part of me, the part of me that has to die, that body in me that will not be resurrected, that I will be given a new body, that body in me, that man, that thing that lives in my members is capable of anything. Anything. A murderer doesn't get up to say, I'm going to murder today. Without the guidance of the Holy Ghost, I've got to come to a conclusion in my own life. I am capable of anything. Out of this belly shall flow rivers of... But the man of the flesh, he can spew out stuff that's not living. He can spew out stuff that's not living. James says things like this. Bitter and sweet waters come out of the same well. These things shouldn't be so. Anyone had the bitter come out ever? Well, three of us would thank you for the truth. 1 minute, praying with my wife. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Presence of God. Love your Lord. Love your Lord. Next minute, what did you do that for? Oh, come on. Holier than art. Holier than thou. So we have bitter waters and sweet waters coming out of the same system. But a forerunner company shouldn't be dressed up in the attire of a man and just say, look at me and look at my works and look at everything I'm doing and I'm doing good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Have an argument in the car. You step out of the car because you're going to church and all of a sudden you put on your Christian hat. Well, praise God. God bless you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. What have you read today? You've been good. What has God blessed you with? Yeah, you get back in the car. What do you do that for? I'm not talking to you until you say sorry. Yes. Man dressed up in the soft attire of the world. Then he says this, behold, those who wear soft attires are in king's houses. Verse 9, what then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. I tell you, and more than a prophet. He's not just one who speaks the word. He's one now that's fulfilling the word. He was prophesied about in Malachi 3 and 1. God doesn't want a forerunner company not just speaking the word. He wants you living the word. Can I hear an amen? Amen. He doesn't want us just to be a man. And he certainly doesn't want you to be a reed. He wants you to be a man of the Holy Ghost. Man full of the Spirit. A man that like we prophesied this morning, whether you think it was prophecy or not, you started speaking over your generations, you know, generations, that they'd be blessed. You're speaking life over them, right? You're speaking life over them. Does anyone not want their children blessed? Does anyone not want their grandchildren blessed? We all want their grandchildren blessed. And all of a sudden, this prophet, this John the Baptist, a forerunner for Jesus to usher in the presence of God himself, not scared to point out Jesus in the midst of the crowd. Hear me. We shouldn't be ashamed, and this is why Jesus said this, be aware lest you are offended by me. This is where the offense comes for Jesus. If I am not standing up for the truth in the midst of the crowd. Doesn't mean I have to get the whole crowd and say, guess what, persuade you this is Jesus. But what it means is if I hear something that is contrary to the truth and they start saying, well, there's life in Buddha, there's life in Muhammad or Hare Krishna or whatever Hindu god you might think or whatever, that is not the truth. There's only one person that has life. And his name is Jesus the Christ of Nazareth. Amen. And he needs a forerunner company that is prepared to stand up in boldness of the Holy Ghost. full of the power and the presence of God. And in the midst of the ordinary, point the extraordinary out. This is the man who takes away the sin of the world. This is the man who conquered sin and death. This is the man who was dead but rose again. This is the man who has the keys of darkness and hell. This is the man who came and conquered everything he needed to conquer and gave me grace to succeed and to give me life and life more abundantly. This is the man that you need to turn to. Not Buddha, not Hare Krishna, not Muhammad, not any other false god. Jesus Christ alone is Lord. Hallelujah. And the world is getting infiltrated by all these other things that are happening around them. All these other welcoming in, all these other ideologies and religions. And it was the religious that killed Jesus. And they have a form of religion. Well, just do your and chant and separate yourself and go and cross your legs and lift up your fingers and do your stuff and that'll bring you peace. No, there's only one person that can bring peace. There's only one person that appeased God's wrath. His name is Jesus Christ. And the only way I'm going to accept that forgiveness and that grace and that mercy is receiving Jesus Christ. He is the door. No man comes unto the Father save through me. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. There is no other life. There is no other truth. There is no other way. He alone is the way. So when people say to me from another religion, well, we serve the same God. I do not serve the same God as you. I don't. If you cannot call Jesus Christ your Lord, if you do not declare Jesus Christ as God manifest in the flesh, we are not serving the same God. Amen. Please let there be no one leave here confused. There is only one way. His name is Jesus. There is only one truth. His name is Jesus. There's only one life found. His name is Jesus. Amen. John was not just heard, but he was seen. We need to be people that are not just heard, but we need to be a people that are seen. Seen living the life. Seen full of the fruitfulness of the Holy Ghost. No use just confessing I'm a Christian. Let that Christianity, let that life that is within you and I come forth. Amen. So when a house is in turmoil, when a house is erect, Matthew 11, it says, and when you enter a house, let your peace come upon that house. You are a carrier of something. You have something. You are born again. 1 John 1 verse 13 says this, you're born not of man, nor of the will of man, nor of the flesh, but you've been born by the Spirit and the will of God Himself. You are born again. It wasn't Dad's idea that you came on earth. It wasn't Mum's idea that they might have wanted it, but God gave you life. God caused growth in the womb. God brought forth the child. God wrote in His book the days that were numbered for them, prior to them living it. God did that. God's ordained you for this moment and this time. God did that. God didn't make a mistake for you to be on earth. You've been born for such a time as this. To what? To be a forerunner of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and His return. Because He's coming back. That's good news. Hear me, that's not bad news as a Christian. If you think that's bad news, you need to seek your Jesus. This is good news that God is coming back. God is going to allow us to live with Him eternally where there's no more tears, there's no more sorrow, there's no more joy. A utopic living in a new kingdom of heaven and earth. That's good news. And that good news is resident within you. John was not seen, but he was not just heard, but he was seen. Doing the work of the Lord. 1 John 12, verse 12 and 13 says this. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave them the right, the old King James say, the power to become children of God. King James say sons of God. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. You were born of God. I want you to gravitate to this morning. Your born again experience is of God. No man comes unto the Son, no man, unless he is drawn by the Father. You've been gifted. He allowed you to hear the truth. He allowed you to hear the truth. He gave you a gift called faith, a measure of faith. Everyone that's born again has been given a measure of. You are given a measure of faith that your soul could find repentance, that you could turn to him and say, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. That wasn't you that did that. That was all the provoking and the prompting and the ways and the working of the Holy Ghost. And it might have taken weeks, it might have taken months. For some, it could take years, but God will keep working it out for your life. He wants something from you. He's left a deposit in you. He has an inheritance inside of you. And he's going to come back for his inheritance. His inheritance in the saints, not yours. Too many Christians are so worried about their inheritance. It's about his inheritance in you. His inheritance in the saints. He has a vested interest in your life. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to fulfill the call and the purpose of God in your life. And he wants your house blessed. He wants the world to see a difference between you and them. And it's not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. So you can't get any glory in it. You can't get any thanks for it. And Lord, you know it was the hand of God that did what he did. Hallelujah. That makes the difference. When they see a living God in your life, not just a name, not just a title, a living God in your life. Hallelujah. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But he is, at least in the kingdom, is greater than he. Because he who is born of the kingdom of God is not born in it by flesh and blood, but by the Spirit of God. Who believes that this morning? Who believes you're born of the Spirit? You're not just being drawn by it. You are born of the Spirit. By the will of the Father who sought you out, enabled you, and have an ear to hear. 1 John, I've read that. He has filled you with his Holy Spirit. And now you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's why just knowing that should stop me touching and doing contrary to what I know I should do with this body. It is not my own. Can I go a little bit deeper, please? I'm not here to scare anyone, but I want to go deeper. That's why when you look at pornography, you're sinning against your own body. And it's not yours to sin against. Two people own your body. If you're married, your spouse, your body is not your own. It belongs. And the Lord. So when you give yourself to pornography, you're not just sinning against your own body, which includes, stand up, darling. If I was in pornography, I'm not sinning just unto the Lord. I'm sinning against her, for she's my body. Is that what the Bible says? We are one. We are one. Amen. Good-looking girl. Hallelujah. the forerunner of his presence, the declarer of the Christ, the one who would point him out of the crowd, the extraordinary in the midst of the ordinary. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. You've been born again by the will of the Father. He sought you out, enabled you to have an ear to hear. He gave you the presence of his Spirit within your life, that you may be more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens you, that you not just be a hearer but a doer of the word, that the world might see that the Christ living in you, the hope of glory, that not just living in you but also be confessed to you, unashamed, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the boldness of the things of God, not scared to stand up for Jesus. We need to be starting to lift up the standard of the Lord, because we're living in dire days. We're living in great days of darkness. Even now, we've got governments wanting to come against Christianity. And I'm not talking about in the Eastern cultures. I'm talking about Western cultures. Western cultures don't want you to talk about Jesus. They don't mind you standing up there and shouting Muhammad. They don't mind you singing your songs and dancing in your orange suit with your cymbals. They don't mind any of that. They don't mind you having a big statue of Buddha outside in their garden. They don't mind that. But you're in a spiritual warfare, because now the name of Jesus has to be declared, and it's stirring things in heaven. The next line, and you see in the same chapter, says this: heaven suffers violence, and the violent are taking it by force. You are in, and I am in, a spiritual warfare, not just for my home, not just for my grandchildren. I am in a spiritual warfare for my nation, my community. The standard of the Lord has been eroded to such a point where anything goes, or whatever you feel to do, you can do it. There is the line has been so eroded that you've got six-year-old kids. This was in England. Six-year-old kids having a sexually changed body because they thought they were a girl. Six. We are fighting a system that is being controlled by an antichrist spirit that will now start to wanted to feed blockers to our children that are confused. Blockers that will stop their puberty and erode their puberty and their sexuality before they're even an adult. Thank God England stopped that right now, because they've seen so many suicides in kids. Kids. We've got now a system of governing order where they don't call a man or a woman having sexual relationships with children. That word pedophile has now been eroded. You don't use that word anymore. You call it sex partner of a younger person. Minimizing everything. Jesus forewarned us that as in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, it's happening now. You must be aware of this. It's happening today. The world system is not just after you. It wants to erode you and your children and their children's children if the Lord tarries, to such a point where this Jesus becomes just a name, just a something to talk about, like a megastar or a movie star, when they say, "Well, I just want to thank Jesus for everything he's done for me in the living life." This Jesus we're talking about is real. This Jesus we're talking about is a person. He is God Almighty seated upon the throne of God. And hear me, he hears everything. Everything. Not just in the church. Everywhere. Everything. And he's looking for a forerunners to stand up. Me, stand up, be bold, and point this Jesus out in the midst of all the other crowds of God, saying, "Behold the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world by his blood alone. Not Krishna, not Buddha, not Mahatma, none of them. They can't, they're dead. He rose again. My God is alive. Standing for the truth. Doing all to stand. Stand therefore. Hallelujah. And said, my Bible says, and when the enemy comes in like a flood, you might be saying, what is that flood? The flood is this. Words and accusation. He's going to spill and spew out words of accusation, words of discouragement, words of hopelessness, words of despair. And all of a sudden, you're going to see the rising of an antichrist in the midst of the generations coming. You're going to see an antichrist rise that the world will say, well, he's the solution to our problem. He's the man of peace, where the King of Peace has been dethroned in their hearts. Amen. We need to be a forerunner that points people to Jesus more than ever before, standing boldly in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Yeah. He's got a priesthood, a royal priesthood. These are forerunners Jesus is talking about. Men and women who have been born again, born of a different spirit. Greater than anyone that's been born of a woman. The Lord is preparing to come again, and God is raising up a people, a forerunner, a company who will operate in the spirit of Elijah that will dare to declare the ways of the Lord. The forerunner ministry is to point Jesus, the Christ is coming in to see a turning back of lost hearts. Who wants to see a turning back of lost hearts? The backslidden. Who wants to see the backslider come back? The compromised. Who wants to see the compromised get restored? The conformed. Who wants to see people set free from conformity to the world? The double-minded, who's unstable in all their ways. They can't make a decision. They don't know what to do. Fear grips them. The sway of the wicked one. Removed from their life to come back to the loving Savior who he is. What are men seeing in me? Do they see a reed? Or do they see a man well-dressed, have all the externals? Or do they see a prophet that's not scared to speak the word of God? When I say prophet, I'm literally saying this. Speak the truth. Speak the truth. Jesus is looking for a man that will declare the truth. Starts in your own home. Starts in your own house. Speak the truth. Amen. In the midst of the gathering of the crowd, and there was a gathering of the crowd with John the Baptist, the crowd heard, regardless of what the religious said, the crowd heard and the crowd saw, he's the Christ. And when he got baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him and remained. Amen. The first thing Jesus defeated, the very first thing Jesus defeated after he was baptized in the Holy Ghost, the very first thing Jesus defeated was the identity problem. The temptation came and the devil immediately attacked his identity. If you are the Son of God, we need to stand up for our children and our children's children. And when they think they're confused of what they are, and you know what they are, tell them what they are. If they need to sit down to go to the toilet, they're a girl. If they stand up to go to the toilet, they're a boy. And you tell them that. You're a boy. You're a girl. We need to tell them to regain their identity. And if the world is not going to say it for them, the world is not saying it to them. The world is saying this. You can be whatever you want. Well, they can't. They can't be what they want. They were designed by God. And God doesn't make mistakes. I'm going to say that again. He's never made a mistake. ever. We need to make sure that God's word and God's name is declared in our children. Stand. Identity. Tell them what it means to be a girl. Tell them what it means to be a boy. Amen. Declare he's the extraordinary and he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I want us to stand this morning. I want to finish on that. But I want to challenge people here this morning. I really feel challenged in myself. In fact, I feel quite intimidated against the enemy because I see him trying to wreak havoc in the house of God. And sometimes we allow things and we get pacifying. We pacify it. Well, it's a season. Don't worry about that. Everything will be well. A little leaven. Leaven's a whole lump. Don't allow it to live in your home or your house. Deal with it. Amen? The church isn't this. The church is families. The church is believers. We've got to allow and lift up the standard of the Lord in our homes, regardless of who comes to my home. Welcome. My home. Anyone can come to my house. Anyone. But if it's mealtime, I'll pray. Whether you're a Buddhist, I don't care what you are. I'll talk about Jesus. I don't care who you are. I love you. I'll keep loving you. But I'm not going to change for you. There's only one person I'll change for. He's my Lord, my Savior, and my God. Amen. God's waiting to lift up a standard. God wants a standard. God wants the people. He'll draw the crowd. God will draw the crowd. Don't you worry about the crowd. God will draw the crowd. God will draw the... But there'll be licorice all sorts. There's going to be everything in that crowd. Everything. Everything. And the difference that will make it is this. When you speak the truth in the midst of the crowd, when Jesus spoke the truth in the midst of the crowd, same chapter, it says this, and many left him in the crowd. Because sometimes all the crowd want is the next meal. All they want is something. Give me something, Jesus. Give me. They've got to get spirit. Give me, give me, give me. I want. Bless me, bless me, bless me. What Jesus wants is the children to grow up, to become sons of God. Put away your childish things. Put them away. And mature in the word, mature in truth, mature in the faith. Put the childish things away and become the sons that he needs in this hour. Isaiah 9 says this, and I'll finish on this. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is, he's given. And upon his shoulder shall be the government of God. Upon the shoulders of who? The baby or the son? The son. God will only give his true authority to sons, not children. That's why he needs his church to grow up. Stand. Point him out. Hear me? Point him out. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. I want to provoke you unto good works. Are you ready to honor him in the midst of the crowd? Are you ready to lift up his name in the midst of the crowd? And we're going to live in a day where people's fears will gravitate them to church. There's going to be a hunger for truth. But if all they see is a mixed up mess of truth and falseness, they want truth. Are you ready to be a standard bearer for your God? A prophet for your God? Speak the truth. Are you ready to lift up the standard? Lift up your voice. And dare believe your God to see your broken, your bruised, your dormant, those who are backslidden around you, to hear the truth. Not my empathy, not my sympathy, the truth. Because the truth will make them free. If that's you this morning, say, Lord, use me. You lift up your hands before the Lord. I really believe He wants to do a fresh anointing in this house. Lord, use me. Lord, use me. Lord, use me. Lord, use me. Father, you see our hands raised this morning. God, I know it can be tough standing for truth. We need your boldness, Holy Spirit. We need your wisdom, Holy Spirit. We need to hear from you, Holy Spirit. I need the guidance of your Spirit, Father. But God, in the midst of it all, Lord, help me to stand therefore for your truth. That I might be a standard bearer in this hour that we're living in. God, you're showing us, those who have ears to hear and eyes to see, you're showing us gross darkness is abounding. But Lord, I know your word says grace will abound much more. Let us be ones, Father, that are carriers of this grace to the broken, the bruised, the blind, the lame, the dead, in the name of Jesus. Fill our mouths with words to speak. Not my wisdom, but yours. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the leading of your Spirit. I need you, Holy Spirit. Help me to be a witness in season and out of season. Whether I'm feeling it, like my sister said, or I'm not, help me to be led by the Holy Ghost. That your name alone will be magnified and glorified and honored and praised and blessed. Transform me to that Son that you're so desperately waiting for, that this whole earth is groaning for, Father, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The world is groaning, Father, under the weight of the wicked one. Help me to be that Son in this hour, Lord, full of the power and the might and the authority of your Spirit. For your glory. Lord, if that's our cry this morning, that is our cry this morning. Here we are, Lord. Change me. Change me to be that instrument in your hand. In Jesus' name. And if that's you this morning, you tell him amen. Amen. Let it be so, let it be so, let it be so. Let it be so, let it be so. In Jesus' name. Five greats of the book of Acts. Never mentioned again. Great faith. Great peace. Unity. Great unity. Fruitfulness. And hold on. Boldness. Great boldness fell upon them. Huh? Not just boldness. Great boldness. When you have to stand up before 3,000 and say, hey, this Jesus whom you persecuted and you killed, this Jesus, whom I'm now preaching, there's only 120 of them. 3,000 could have got up and smacked them around. But they stood in boldness, in the truth. And the truth set 3,000 free. Amen? God bless you. Stay strong. Stay strong in the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stay for a cup of tea and a cup of coffee.